Joining us as he does every Wednesday morning, Dean Bulldog Ritchie, the Daily Telegraph extraordinaire co-host of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, men. Another eventful weekend in rugby league.
Hang on a sec. Hang on.
The great Ricky and Dean.
Hang on, Bulldog. Before we go there, this is my one chance, right? Because you've had the microphone now for 3 weeks since the Big Sports Brekkie Luncheon. And you've been hammering me about not paying for your cab ride home. So this is the chance to stare you straight in the eyes and set the record straight. What happened at the end of that cab ride when I dropped you at your place?
Well, it was an Uber, not a cab.
Was it?
Oh. So straight away, the credibility levels have dropped.
Same.
Okay? So that's a bad start.
It's not good.
Whose account was the Uber on?
Yours.
Right. How much did you give me?
50.
Liar.
And I think it came to 40, so you still owe me 10.
50 was not a red note. Let's put it that way. Anyway, let's
That's how I remember it anyway.
Have we sorted this out yet or what?
No, I think this will go on for a few years, actually. Anyway, Bulldog, Ricky Stewart, Desi Hassler.
Yeah, it was great, wasn't it? In terms of theatre after the game.
It was so good.
Obviously, everyone knows the story, but Des said his bit. He was obviously cranky. Then he thought, well, you know what? I'm mates with Ricky. I'll go and wait outside the Raiders' room. Ricky was in there having a beer. I think Ricky might have known Des was waiting just quietly, but and just made him wait that little
just
bit longer.
Quietly.
Just quietly. Ricky goes out. Des tells him what he says. Ricky gets the you-know-whats, goes in and has a red-hot crack at Des. Look, they're both friends. I was told yesterday that they may have even spoken on Monday morning. Mm. They go back to the 1990 Kangaroo Tour. Yeah. So I don't think it's anything overly hostile or something that will, ruin a 35-year friendship. Des was looking after his team. Ricky was looking after his team. Play on.
The highlight for me out of the whole story is Ricky Stewart had a beer before he went into the press conference. How good
He loves a beer, Rick.
Oh, I wouldn't have trusted myself having a beer before presses.
It was funny, though, that Des wanted to tell Ricky, like a lot of coaches would say their piece and then go, that's it.
Yeah.
We're on the team bus and we're out of here. So I guess that shows the respect Des has for Stick, that he wanted to tell him personally. But we all know what Ricky's like. If anything, I guess, gets in the way or takes away from his side's win, he gets uppity. But that's who Ricky is, and that's why we love him. Mm. And people bag Ricky, but he's great for our game. He gives us headlines. He gives us passion, emotion. Yep. When he's on the sideline, the Fox cameras never leave him. Mm. It was just a great old-fashioned rugby league story.
I asked Ads earlier, Bulldog, if there was any inkling that maybe Desi went to tell Ricky before he fronted the media to fire him up.
I don't think so, Mossy. Look, it's possible. I don't think Des is like that. I don't think Des is like that. I think Des has got a lot of respect for Rick. Mm. But look, the Raiders are going well. A lot of people tipped them to come last. I think they're running third, aren't they, Adam, at the moment, on percentages. So he's certainly got them firing up, Ricky.
That forward pack, Doggy, like that forward pack is... I reckon it's a good forward pack. Like you go through Tarpany, Papali'i's finding himself again. Morgan Smithies has been a great buy from England. He's been fantastic for him. Obviously, Zach Hosking's going to be a big loss. He looks like he might miss the rest of the year. But when you've got Whitehead and Hudson Young, like that's a really solid forward pack. And some young guys coming through as well in Mariota and Sorlo and these sort of guys. So I'm not completely surprised what Canberra's doing. I didn't tip him to make my eight at the start of the year, but I thought they'd be around that sort of 9th, 10th, 11th sort of mark again. But yeah, Ricky's done a great job with him so far.
Can't believe after 35 years in rugby league, Ricky still got that, what's the word I'm after? Hostility?
Yeah.
Passion?
Yeah.
Aggression? All those pushed into one person. It's still there. Mm. It's still raw. Every game, you just don't know what you're going to get from Rick. And I spoke to Donnie Fernie yesterday, the Raiders CEO, and he said he certainly has mellowed a bit away from the field, but I still think, even though he's not playing, there's a bit of white line fever in Ricky, and that's just who he is. That's why we love him.
Oh, I love it. It's fantastic.
Great.
Like, he is great theatre for the game. Yes, he crosses the line sometimes, and Ricky will be the first to admit that a couple of times in press conferences in the past, he's probably gone a step too far. But, like, as fans, it's fantastic to watch. I love it.
Oh, hear, hear. Yeah, I absolutely love it.
It's the most natural drug. It's the most natural drug in the world, isn't it? Adrenaline.
You know, we had a bet, was it last year or the year before? We had a little cheeky bet because I get on quite well with Rick, and I said, look, I'll bet you 100 that you get fined again for a post-match press conference.
Did he get done last year?
It might have been the year before. But not only did he get done, it was the Damon Salmon incident. So he got booted out of the game. So I said, well, you can double my money. I only had the 100 on for a fine.
Oh, jeez.
But he does regret that. Yeah, those comments, though, to be fair. And he was most regretful as soon as they came out of his mouth. And he apologised. And let's not go back over old ground. But, yes, he does get emotional.
You haven't heard from our great mate over in Singapore?
No, I haven't.
Any exclusives we should know about?
No, nothing.
Advancing the game in the international?
Well, he just does this for love of and a passion for rugby league. It's come straight from Junee, this love.
I know. Just...
No, I haven't heard from him.
I saw a headline that Manly wants Schuster gone by the end of the week.
That wouldn't surprise me, Mossy. Mm. Yeah, I think they just want him out of the joint. I don't know what to make of Josh Schuster. The more calls I make around him, the more I hear, and Adam, you probably hear the same things, that he's struggling mentally. He's got issues that he has to address. I don't know how deep they are in terms of psychologically. Mm. But I do feel for the kid. I know a lot of people don't share that because they think he's a football player, he should be mechanical, and he's blowing all his money. And yes, that is true to some degree, but I think there are some welfare issues that we should consider.
Yeah. It's extremely sensitive, Doggy. There's a lot of stuff going on in the background there that he needs to work through. He needs the support of people around him at the moment to try and work through that. I think football, in my opinion, should be the furthest thing from his mind at the moment, given some of the personal issues he's trying to get on top of. So I just hope for his sake that he can get in the right headspace at some stage, get himself a little bit fitter, and resurrect his career down the line. I'm not saying it's going to be at Manly. Obviously, it won't be. But he's too talented not to be given a crack by someone else. Like, someone else has just got to take a punt on him in a strong culture for not a lot of money and say, Josh, come to us. We're going to surround you with some really strong personalities, good coaching staff. You're going to play for minimal money because it's not about money anymore, mate. It's about the love of the game and getting you back to where you need to be. And that's where I hope he ends up.
He's so young.
Yeah.
He could take some time away and still come back at 22, 21. So he's got another 10 years of rugby league if that's the path he wants to take. Mm, mm.
Now, Bulldogs bite today in the Daily Telegraph. Pino Waar's leading attack on NZ rugby.
Yeah, I wanted to write a story, Mido, and I think it's legit. And I know already people in New Zealand are jumping up and down about it, saying that the Warriors have now sold out 6 straight games, including trial games. Their marketing, their merchandise, their sponsorship, their crowds. Every KPI in Auckland is through the roof. They are flying. And at the same time, the 5 Super Rugby franchises over there are struggling. They're struggling crowd-wise. Mm. I don't think the Warriors can take on and beat the All Blacks. The All Blacks are an institution.
Definitely.
But in terms of that next level down, the Warriors are now saying, we have the hottest ticket in town. We've gone above Super Rugby. Mm. So in that column, I've written all this, but also suggested that, is it now time to go for the jugular, and do we bring in a Christchurch team?
Interesting question, isn't it? Mm. I'm not,
they're ready to be taken in terms of rugby league.
Yeah.
But the further south you go, the further it gets more rugby league, rugby union orientated. But is it any more of a risk than going to Perth or PNG?
I was going to ask you, Doggy. I'm not sold on PNG. I'm still not sold yet.
Please.
I understand what they're trying to do, and money from the government is a huge factor. I get that. But I would rather them work on their pathways for the next 5 years, and the NRL go back to win 5 years' time and say, okay, what kids you got coming up through? Can you sustain a team out of Papua New Guinea first? But it seems like they're well and truly advanced down this path. It's going to happen. I agree with you. I think Perth or a second New Zealand team on the South Island probably make more sense to me than going to Papua New Guinea at the moment.
The one problem they got in New Zealand is at school level, because a lot of the schools are very, very pro-rugby. And if you want to play league, they go, well, you can't play rugby. So there's still a lot of that butting heads from the old school politics at regional level, and that's a shame for the kids. But in terms of success, I think a South Island team would do well. Yeah. I'd like to bring the Bears back. I'd call them the Christchurch Bears, and let's just see how they go. But obviously the broadcasters would have to have a big say in it in terms of whether they think a second team would rate here in Australia.
There's definitely, Super Rugby fatigue, and it's a problem with that whole competition. They're going to review it, etc. But definitely, Kiwis I know say that it's lost its luster completely.
Correct.
The Super Rugby competition, like you say, the All Blacks will always be the All Blacks. Don't worry about that. But the Super Rugby element is, the Warriors are the the shiny toy at the moment.
Correct.
Without a doubt. Just because it's different, they're winning. And remember with the Warriors too, we have seen this before, the flash in the pear moments, and then it goes pear-shaped after they made the grand final back in 2011.
Different. It feels different
it
now.
It does feel different. It does feel different. But I still think we need more time to just, let's just enjoy the Warriors for a while rather than go, let's now put a team in Christchurch.
Yeah,
I did find it funny that Cameron George, the CEO, told me of a new movement over there called the Pinot Wars, which is what you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, what is this? Sorry?
The Pinot Wars is the Wars. Up the Wars became a bit of a phenomenon in New Zealand last year. It was everywhere. But now they've got a new movement they're calling the Pinot Wars, which is the red wine drinkers who sit in front of the fireplace at home watching rugby union are now flicking over to watch rugby league. So they're calling them a new movement, the Pinot Wars.
Not having a Steinlager first?
I don't think so.
Right. Straight into the
But I guess it's all about converting union people to league. And I even dug up a few quotes from last year. Steve Hansen, the legendary coach. Israel Dagg saying, I can't watch rugby anymore. I watch the league.
Great Pinot in New Zealand. I can understand. Front of the fire.
You got some vices, haven't you?
Dean Bulldog Richie joining us. We saw yesterday Bulldog, the Origin Series launched at the MCG ahead of 2024. Well, the series coming up and... Well, Zach Lomax naturally is a topic at the moment when it was confirmed he's off to Parramatta yesterday, but going so well there on the wing at the Dragons, to what extent has it propelled him into the conversation to be a starting winger for New South Wales in Game 1?
Well, he has to be in the equation. I heard you blokes talking about it earlier in the show, but, I mean, Brian To'o will be first picked, so there's a spot there. And if you base it on form right here, right now, and if you picked a side, you'd have Zach Lomax in the side.
Mm.
But it is ironic, given he left St George Illawarra because he doesn't want to play on the wing. So
he's definitely
he's,
in the
he's an unusual bloke, apparently, Zach. I don't know him that well, but you speak to all the people and they say he's just a little bit different to the normal footy player. It's not a bad thing.
Which is fine, aren't we all?
Yeah, I'm just saying. But obviously, he thought long and hard about leaving, because I don't agree with leaving because you can't play in the position that you want. Mm. Yeah, coaches tell players don't tell coaches where they play. But look, it was Zach's call. He's on the run now, but I think, certainly he'd be a candidate.
I reckon there's one issue for him looking for Origin selection, and that's his defence. Like, that right-hand side defence from the Dragons so far this year has been really, really poor with Lomax, Bird and Hunt, like senior guys. You think it would be better. So I think he's made a couple of blues in defence on the wing, but apart from that, what he offers in attack, like, he's got to be in the conversation, surely.
A goal kicking, high ball, etc. He ticks a lot of boxes, doesn't he? He was always this prodigious talent, wasn't he, Adam? We were told 4 years ago this bloke's origin material. He didn't exactly die away in terms of form.
No.
But he sort of disappeared off the radar when it came to origin, but now he's back and in the frame.
That's why the Dragons offered him such a long contract all those years ago. It was like a 6-year deal, and that's why he's projected to earn, or he was projected to earn, $850 next year and $875 in 2026. It's like it's mega money when you're doing a contract 5 or 6 years ago.
Too much for a winger.
Oh yeah, of course.
What's going on with the Tigers' sponsorship proposition to their ex-chairman Bulldog?
Yeah, it's a funny one. This one, Mossy Lee Hadjipantelis is the chief principal at Bryden's Lawyers, and they are one of the major sponsors of the West Tigers. Lee, of course, was pushed aside last year as chairman. It was quite acrimonious, his departure from both sides. His sponsorship there is quite lucrative. I think it's up around $1 million a year, Adam. Is that right? Somewhere
roughly.
That vicinity.
Yep.
So I think his sponsorship comes up maybe at the end of this year. So, of course, the key question is, how dirty is he with the club, and will he come back? So I spoke to Lee yesterday and he said, look, where are you at? He said, look, I haven't made a decision yet, but the Tigers are going to come to me with a proposal shortly. And once I review all that, I will make my decision as to whether he keeps his money in the club. I've got to be honest, if that was me, I'd find it very hard to shell out $1 million to a club that's gave me the bullet. But let's see what Lee's like and the mark of the man.
Well, did he delve into the emotional side of what happened? Because ultimately a proposal is a proposal, but if he's emotionally checked out of the club, doesn't want anything to do with it, then it doesn't matter what the proposal is.
Well, it depends, I guess, too, whether he he will look at the financial rewards of being a sponsor. Mm. You can be as dirty as you like, but if you think that sponsorship is bringing in good, solid business, well, maybe you've got to put your emotions in your back pocket. So he would know whether the sponsorship is working. You know, companies are clamouring over rugby league clubs these days to get their names on jerseys. So clearly something is working. And if it's working for Brydens, Lee might have to say, OK, I'm not happy still. I was filthy at the way I was treated. I didn't want to be booted out. But if it's earning me some coin and Brydens is flying, well, I'll come back.
Who's going to Vegas, baby?
Yeah, I was told yesterday, you know, that they don't want to take the weaker teams. That's the commission's preference, not to take weaker sides. So they want to take the strong teams. So that would mean that Penrith are definitely going. Melbourne are just about definitely going.
Away team, though. They want to be an away team.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. So that would leave two more teams to go to Vegas. If Penrith go, then I don't think they'll take Parramatta because they don't want two teams from Western Sydney. They will take a Queensland side, which I am told will be the Cowboys. So you've got the Cowboys, Panthers, Storm, and you've got one more open. That could be the Raiders or the Warriors.
Warriors, yeah. Warriors makes sense. Again, cash in on the popularity at the moment. I think a lot of people from New Zealand would make the trip, wouldn't they?
There's big Polynesian populations in California and Utah.
There is.
So I think that would be, you know, a logical conclusion. The Raiders are very keen. I think it's important next year we take teams. I'm not that fussed personally about the ability of a side. I just want them to take fans. We got 41,000 this year. If we go back to 28, it's a step backwards. So we need fan bases to go.
True.
Sorry, Adam, I'll just say this. I think, too, they might announce it soon, but I think they want to wait till after Magic Round because they want people to spend their money to go to Magic Round first, and then they'll announce the teams. Otherwise, fans will go, okay, well, I'm not going to Magic Round now. I'll put that money toward Vegas. Yeah. So I think they'll probably wait till round 10.
Yeah, and then I think 11.
11. Yep. And then I think you'll find they'll probably come out and say, these are the teams going.
It's one thing for the NRL to say that they don't want weaker teams to go next year, but at some stage, every team's going to have to go. So you get to year four or year five, and I'm not being disrespectful here, but teams that have been struggling down the bottom of the ladder, you might end up with a Gold Coast, Dragons, Bulldogs, someone else, four teams going to Vegas, like in year four or year five. Does it? I don't know. I'm really curious to see how the NRL works this because, you know, they went with a bang this year, some really big, high-profile heavyweight teams. Next year, Penrith's logical, Melbourne's logical. But what do you do in year four and 5 minutes?
I'd be surprised if we see all the teams go. I know that,
well,
that's what
you're saying
said.
They're not all going to go.
They're not all going to go. No way. You reckon the Gold Coast Titans are going to go and play in Vegas? I don't think so.
I think Middo might be right. I'd like to see everyone have a crack. I think every team deserves to go. But by year three or four, they might go back and say, okay, the Roosters are going again. Yeah, Broncos
Manly,
are going
Manly
again.
Manly are going again.
Manly are going again.
Broncos will go again.
They want to go again. So do the Roosters.
I don't think Kevy was that enamoured with going this year, to be honest. I think Kevy wanted to prefer to stay at home.
Sorry, you're right, Adam. I've got that muddled up. The Broncos don't want to go. Yes. The Roosters and Manly
100%.
Want to go back.
Roosters and Manly are desperate to go again. Broncos and South have said, once is enough for us.
Okay. It takes a lot.
Of course it does.
It takes a lot out of not only the players, but also the officials who are dedicated to making Vegas work. There's a ton of work that went in behind the scenes. And once you do it once, it's like, it was great, we loved it, but we've done it and we're not going again.
Well, we're only six rounds into the competition, but look at the teams who went to Vegas this year. Roosters, not in the top eight. Broncos, not in the top eight. Rabbitohs running stone motherless last. Manly are just in eighth. So, to be fair, those four teams that went to Vegas this year have hardly set the world on fire since they've come back to Australia. So, yeah, I reckon it does. It takes a huge toll out of the team.
Well, it's a big distraction. Like, when you're preparing for a season to get into the daily and weekly grind of a competition, that's a huge distraction to have to prepare for something like Vegas, go there, perform, and then come back, recover, and get into the season.
On the text line, boys, I still think the NRL need to look at the North Coast Bears based out of Coffs Harbour. It's a massive catchment area for juniors. So many great players have come out of it. They have the ground at airport to get in and out. What do you lads think, Mark from Old Bar? Get at what you're saying, and I've seen a couple of these suggestions, getting New South Wales country team involved commercially, which is very difficult.
The Bears have been to Coffs. They've had informal chats up there with the local council, and Brian Fletcher came forward, I think, last month, Adam, didn't he, and said, look, why don't they look at the country Bears?
Yeah. Yep.
Play them at all the regional centres. They could be based at North Sydney with a centre of excellence, and they could fan out into the bush, become the bush team. Another suggestion is maybe Central Queensland. Plenty of money up there with the mining, got some big regional towns. Don't think it would potentially work, but it's certainly worth considering. So you think about it, PNG, Perth and Christchurch, there is an element of risk to all of those.
Of course there is.
There is an element of risk to all of those.
Another one here. Morning, Middo. Love the show. First time messaging. Could you please ask Bulldog if the NRL introduced another club to the competition where the extra game would be played over the weekend? Would Monday night football be an option? Asks Stuart on the text line. Have to be. Bring it back. Bring it back. The coaches hate it. Don't care. We loved it. And it rated through the roof. I know turnover with Tab was very, very good.
Big. Well, it would mean 5 nights of rugby league a week. My only concern is, would there be a bit of viewer fatigue?
No.
A few divorces?
Possibly.
They're going to be there anyway.
But look, I love Monday night footy. There's nothing better, was there, than getting home Monday night, waiting for home and away to finish.
And it was 7 o'clock
and
kickoff.
And then watching the footy.
Yeah. They got that formula right. 7 o'clock kickoff. Perfect. I know the crowds weren't great, but I think we all accepted it was a TV game.
Look, the money in TV is a lot bigger than the money they get through the gates. So there's only a few thousand people there. It's not a good look, but in terms of money, if they get more coin through the broadcast deal, which is worth about $2 billion at the moment and going up, then who cares if there's 3,000 instead of 5,000?
Yeah, it's just hard from a scheduling point of view, like having teams playing Monday
night. Oh, you just didn't
like
reporting on it on a Monday night.
No, I'll admit, I hated going to Monday night games to work. I used to have to go to a few of them, and I used to hate it because you start your day week on a Monday. I'm being very self-indulgent here, but you might not finish work till 10 to 11 o'clock on a Monday night.
I get it.
So that's, I'm being, I know.
Did you do the, wasn't there, was it the game at Cronulla on a Monday night, which was
Sharknado game? Oh, yeah, the Sharknado game.
Right, against Souths, wasn't it?
I wasn't there for that one.
Damn.
But yeah, like, I understand your point from a TV perspective. It's fantastic. Like, it would rate really, really highly. So
where would you take the game? Oh, sorry, you'd have the extra game, wouldn't you?
Oh, Sunday night. It'd have to be Sunday night.
Yeah.
You'd play 2 o'clock kickoff Sunday, 2-4, and then maybe at 6:30 or something like that, or 6:15. That would have to be the way they'd work it, wouldn't it? Surely.
They won't touch Super Saturday.
No. And you can't have any more games on Thursday or Friday. We've already got one and then two.
What
on
about
Friday.
Tuesday, Wednesday, and let's be done with it.
Just play every night.
Every night.
New South Wales Cup, maybe.
Bulldog, where to go. Thank you.
Thank you.